are here in the sanctuary, allow me to just a moment to repeat myself for a second, because there are those who listen to the message on the audio recording only, and they don't get to hear the announcements, and there are those who watch the video, but they skip over the announcements. And what do you miss when you skip over the announcements? What do you miss? How much we believe in prayer. The power in prayer, because there's something I normally say. There are two things about prayer. You know, I give them the book, I give them the connection card, and we ask them to fill out the card. We say they're definitely confidential. The prayer requests are definitely confidential. But there's definitely power in prayer, especially when we pray together. But it's not just a saying that we have. It's not just a lightly held belief that we have. It's a fact. There is power in prayer. Above anything that we can do to help others, it's prayer. Prayer above all. Now, yes, providing for their needs, their physical needs, and helping them is great. It's necessary. But above all, prayer has power to change their situations. For each of us, we'll find ourselves sooner or later, if we're not in one right now, where either we don't know what to do, or we don't have the power to do what we want to do. Prayer is the first thing we should be doing. It's not a last resort. It's not something we do when we're at the end of our rope. It should be the first thing we do. In fact, even before we get to that place where we're worried, we should be doing it. Now, I know that many here today who are watching or listening today know this. But it's good to get a reminder every once in a while, to get that little refresher every once in a while, to reinforce it. Maybe you're hearing it for the first time. That's okay. Today, I want to talk about prayer. And that's not going to be an all-inclusive teaching about everything that you need to know about prayer, but I hope that it's going to encourage you, that if you're someone who prays already, to pray a little deeper. If you're someone who doesn't pray or doesn't pray very often, that you get into a daily prayer routine. Now, I want to start with encouragement to encourage you that you know prayers are not just words or thoughts that you say to yourself as a form of self-comfort or trying to build yourself up. They're not meant to be words that you do for yourself. They're meant to be words and requests to Adonai that He will build you up, that He will make the change in you that we can't make on our own. And the way that we do that is to ask Him. That's really part of prayer, is just to ask Him. Yeshua says in Matthew, turn on my point, my thingy here. Yeshua says to Matthew, to each of us, as part of the Sermon on the Mount, He says this about the power of prayer. Matthew 7, starting in 7. Ask, and it shall be given to you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds. And the one who knocks, it shall be opened. For what man among you, when his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or when he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good things to those who ask Him? Yeshua says to make a request of Adonai, to look not just to Him, but for the answer, and to keep knocking at the door. Then He says why this is true. He says that if a man knows how to give good, and how much more does God know how to? Now, I know that as I was growing up, if I needed something for school, and I would go and ask my father, I know if as long as it was within his ability, he would give it to me. How much more do we know that Adonai, who's able to do all things, will give us what we ask for, because it's in his ability. As creator of the universe and the world, he has the ability to give anything. Within the book of John, Yeshua takes the power of prayer even further. That's not John. There it is. Oop. John, there we go. John 15:7. If you abide in me, my words abide in you. Ask whatever you wish, and it shall be done for you. In this, my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciple, my disciples. So if that's the case, why don't we have everything we ask for? If you're running the race, and that's what life is, it's running and working alongside him, and you're living by his words, then he says that whatever you wish will be done for you. Wow. Sounds like a Disney movie. When you wish upon a star. But the sad truth is that too many people take the verses out of context. You have to keep them in context with all the writings. But they think of prayer as wishing upon a star. And that whatever they wish for, because they believe, that's what it says they're going to get. All you have to do is wish upon it. If you wish it, if you name it, then you can claim it. Regardless of what's going on in my life, that's what they believe. But if you don't have it, what? You must be wishing in the wrong way, right? That's the problem. No, the problem is they're taking the verses out of context with the rest of the scripture. Now, James gives us some more instruction about prayer requests of Adonai. Wow, my slides are just... Okay, you do it manually. I need to be on James 4:1-2. There we go. James 4:1-2. Where do quarrels and conflicts come from? Don't they come from this, namely your passions that battle within your body parts? You crave and have not. You murder and you envy, yet you cannot get it. You fight and you wage war. You do not have because you do not ask. There are those who want to take these two verses, joining them along with John 15:7 that we read just a moment ago, and say, see, I should have whatever I ask for. If I ask God for it, he should give it to me. If he's good, then I should have it all. If I'm asking for a pile of gold, where's my pile of gold? Where's my healed body? Where's all the joy that I can imagine in this life? Now, there's a few problems with these questions, right? First, let's start off with reading the next two verses from James. James 4:3-4. You ask and do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, so you may spend it on your passions. You adulteresses, don't you know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself to be an enemy of God. You ask with the wrong motives. Now, I'm not saying that everyone here, or everyone listening today, does not have just because they're asking with the wrong motives or are sinners supreme. That's not what I'm saying. But it is one of the reasons that we don't get what we want when we want it. He is not a star to be wished upon. He is the God who is to be praised, worshiped, and followed. We are called to walk with him or to run the race with him in his way, not our own way. Psalm 145 is this instruction to us. Psalm 145, starting in verse 15. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food on time. You open your hand and satisfy every living thing with favor. Adonai is righteous in all his ways and kind in all his deeds. Adonai is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. He will fulfill the desires of those who fear him. He will hear their cries and save them. He provides not just our food, but we should be satisfied with his favor. He is close to those who call on him, but only when they call on him in truth. He will fulfill the wants and the needs of those who call upon him, but not to their detriment. We know that some of the things that we ask for really aren't for our own good. I can ask for, all the income I want. And I can rationalize it, but think how much more I can give to the synagogue if I have more income. But perhaps that ability to purchase would also cause harm to us. It would change our habits. It would change who we are if we had everything we wanted. We are called to ask and seek and knock. But he's the one who will ensure that the answered prayers are at the right time and are right for us, not to harm us. He knows, and we need to understand that he understands. He understands more than we do. This should not lessen our faith in prayer, but it should increase our prayer faith. He knows he's going to do it. Let him be in control, and he will ensure the best for each one of us. Even as some people are praying, they ask a question, how long do I need to keep praying for this thing? The answer to the question is, until you get a full answer. That's when you keep praying until you get the full answer, not a partial answer. Keep praying until you see the full answer. What does the full answer look like? Well, it includes either yes or no. Excuse me. Yes or no. If it's a yes, then it's also going to include the how, the who, and the when. There are people who stop praying too soon for things because they think they've got the full answer. But they don't really. They even become satisfied with the partial when they shouldn't be satisfied yet. There's a song that has a line in the chorus. You may have heard it on the radio recently. If it's not good, then he's not done. He's not done with it yet. I would even say, if it looks good, but it's not excellent, he's not done yet. We need to keep praying in faith until the full birth of what he has in store for us. In 1 Kings, there was a famine in the land because Adonai had closed the heavens from raining due to the sins of King Ahab. Elijah was the prophet at the time that Adonai used to convict King Ahab. When Adonai said, it's time for the rain, Elijah told Ahab, and we read this in 1 Kings 18, starting in verse 41. Then Elijah said to Ahab, go up, eat and drink, and there's the sound, for there's the sound of rain. So Ahab went up to eat and drink. But Elijah went to the top of Carmel, crouched on the ground, and put his face between his knees. Then he said to his servant, go up now, look towards the sea. So he went up, looked, and said, there's nothing. Then he said, go back 7 times. And it was the 7th time that he said, look, a cloud as small of them as a man's hand is rising from the sea. Then he said, go up, say to Ahab, harness your chariot and go down before the rain stops you. In a little while, the sky grew black with clouds and wind, and there was heavy rain. When Adonai tells you something, don't stop praying until you see it. Elijah knew it was going to rain. Adonai told him it was going to rain. He heard the sound of the rain, but the sky was still clear. There was not a cloud in the sky at all. He prayed for the rain clouds and sent his servant to look for the clouds. But the first 6 times, there was nothing. It was a clear sky. It was a beautiful day. It was not until the 7th time that he sent them that the servant looked for the cloud, that there was any cloud at all. And even at that time, it was just a small cloud. It was only the size of a hand. There would be black clouds in the sky, which caused wind and heavy rain, though. But it was because he did not give up on praying. Even though he heard Adonai say that there was going to be rain, even though he knew he was in alignment with Adonai, he was doing what he was told to do, even though it took some time, he did not give up on praying for what he knew was right. He knew that he knew, so he knew to keep praying. Elijah knew because he was told by Adonai. He knew Adonai told him what was to be. Thank you. I actually have that, but I can use that too. Don't worry. Elijah knew what Adonai said it was going to happen, but the answer didn't come easily. It almost appeared like the answer wasn't even going to come. Now, Yeshua had a parable for that. Imagine that. We see it in Matthew 15. It's not a long parable, so I'm going to read it all. Matthew 15, starting in 21. Now Yeshua left from there and went away to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a Canaanite woman from that district came out and started shouting, have mercy on me, O Master Ben David. My daughter is severely tormented by a demon. But he did not answer her a word. And when his disciples came, they were urging him, saying, send her away because she keeps shouting at us. But he responded, I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. So she came and got down on her knees before him, saying, Master, help me. And answering, he said, it's not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. But she said, yes, Master, but even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the Master's table. Then answering, Yeshua said to her, O woman, great is your faith. Let it be done for you as you wish. And her daughter was healed that very hour. A few things out of this parable. First, who's making the request? A Canaanite woman. A Canaanite woman. She came from Canaan. The people of Canaan were an enemy to Israel and almost totally wiped out. But the woman's words and postures towards Yeshua tells us much. She had faith and she had great respect towards Yeshua, kneeling down and calling him master. She could have stopped when Yeshua did not answer. And then when the disciples tried to get him to send her away, even when she did not get the answer from Yeshua at first, she kept asking, seeking out the healing for her daughter. And even to the point of saying how lowly they are. Even the lowly are supposed to get something, she said. Now, next is that Yeshua knew that both Jew and Gentiles would be blessed by him. But he tested her faith, which kept her praying and asking for the healing, even when others around her tried to stop her from asking. The posture that she took, the way she approached and spoke to him, made the difference. But the other thing, which is why I bring it up today, is that when she did not get any results in her initial request or prayer, right? Her prayers were her asking. She continued because she knew the righteousness of Adonai. She knew that she was not asking for something that was outside his will. So she didn't give up. We need to know that if we know we're making a right request, then we have to know with faith that that request will be answered, even in times that the answer seems to be out of the question. And there will be times that the situation we'll find ourselves in is so hard, we don't even know what to ask. The words just won't come out of our mouths. We don't know what request even. I'm stuck. I just don't even know what to do here. Don't even know how to pray. Have you ever been to that place? I don't even know what to pray for. Never mind what to pray for, how to pray for it. Adonai knows. He knows. And by his Ruach, by the Ruach, he will pray along with us. He will make the right request as long as we're praying with him. The Ruach knows, and Rav Shaul encourages this of us in Romans 8. Romans 8:26, starting there. In the same way, the Ruach helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know how to pray as we should. But the Ruach himself intercedes for us with groans too deep for words. And he who searches the hearts knows the mind of the Ruach, because he intercedes for the Keshadim according to the will of God. Even when we don't know what to pray for, we pray. It's when we don't know what to pray for that the Ruach prays for us. The Ruach steps in with his prayers. They could sound like groaning. They could be in the tears that you cry. But the Ruach is there, and he always knows the best way to pray for us, even when it's too hard for us to get words out. He is with us to comfort us, to counsel us, especially in the times that we do not know how to pray for the situation we're in. It shows a measure of faith that we allow him to pray for us when we don't know what to do. This seems to me to be the ultimate step in faith, when we just hand it all over to Him, including how to pray. It seems that we as believers will default to prayer when we need it. But the encouragement for today is, don't wait until you need it. The time to fill up your tank is not when you're out of gas. And the time to pray is not when you have already run out of options. Prayer is like a tank that when you keep filling it up, then that faith that's so necessary to draw upon on times of trouble is already there with you. You don't have to build it up then, because you've already got it within. So we pray in the good times so that we'll be prepared for the hard times. Look at what Shaul, the Apostle Paul, says in 1 Thessalonians 5:16-17. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all situations, all circumstances. Two short but powerful verses with instructions for us in all times. We're told, pray without ceasing, and in all circumstances or situations, fill up your spiritual tank. We're always to be tapping into the power source that gives us life, so that we're ready when things don't go as we plan them to. And that's going to happen. Personal experience tells me that when things are really hard, I find it really hard to pray and read, to be honest with you. During the most difficult times, it's hard to open up your scriptures. It's hard to pray. It's hard to sing. It's hard to do anything. That's why we need our tank to be filled up, though. Because we have to, you know, those hard times distracts us from where we really need to be. We can't concentrate on the spiritual because of the external that's going on. But if we already have internally planted the word of Adonai, there's a power source then to draw on. There are, of course, men within Scripture who draw on that same power source of Adonai that we read about. To look at them as examples should bring us confidence that if they could do it, we can do it. When we're in trouble, when they're in trouble, they turn to prayer for the power, discernment, and strength to get through what they needed to do. The first example is Daniel. Now, of course, when I say Daniel, everyone thinks lion's den, right? Lion's den. So let's take a look at when and how he prayed. The problem for Daniel started because those who were taken out of Jerusalem and brought to Babylon, they were not liked. Adonai gave them success. They rose up in stature. They rose up in places of the government, but they didn't like him. In order to trap Daniel and to kill him, the men under King Darius convinced the king to sign papers that no one could pray to another god except King Darius. He was God, and you can't pray to any other god. In these next 30 days, he's the only one you can pray for. Now we read in Daniel 6, starting in verse 11, 10 in your English for scriptures. Now when Daniel learned that a written decree had been issued, he went into his house where the windows in his upper room opened towards Jerusalem. Three times a day he knelt down, prayed, and gave thanks before his God, just as he did before. So we see two things about Daniel here. he had a habit of praying to Adonai three times a day. He filled his tank every day. Also, he knew he was being trapped, but he wasn't afraid of what men could do. He knew the decree and prayed, and I bet that came up during his prayers that day. But he still did it. He still didn't let the trouble stop him from praying. Now, Daniel was living out Psalm 55, and I'm sure his prayer sounded a lot like Psalm 55. Here's what that psalm says. Psalm 55, verses 2 to 4, or 1 to 4 in your English scriptures. Give ear, O God, to my prayer, and do not ignore my plea for help. Listen to me and answer me. I am restless in my complaint and moan because of the voice of the enemy, because of the pressure of the wicked, for they thrust trouble on me, and in anger bear a grudge against me. This psalm sounds like it was written by Daniel, but it was written by David. Because when people came against David in Jerusalem, he knew that feeling as well. Both David and Daniel knew to turn to Adonai, to pray to Adonai, to have faith and trust in Adonai. David later in Psalm 55 says just what he knows Adonai will do, which I'm sure Daniel also knew. Psalm 55:17, ask for me, I will call on God, and Adonai will save me. Evening, morning, and noon, I complain and moan. Then he hears my voice. He will redeem my soul in Shalom from the battle against me, for many are striving with me. God will hear and humble them. Yes, the one enthroned on old. They both knew who they were praying to and the heart of the one they were praying to. That was true to them, and it's true for us as well, because we pray towards the same God. David says that he prays evening, morning, and noon three times, just as Daniel did. And that he knows that the battle is Adonai's. Just as Daniel knew that he was not the one to fight the lions, but that it was the Lord who would keep him safe, not just from the lions, but from those who wanted the lions to kill him. Daniel knew, David knew, Yeshua knew. When Yeshua knew he was about to be arrested, he went to prayer. We see this in Luke 22:39. And Yeshua came out and went as usual to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples followed him. When he reached the place, he said to them, pray that you will not enter into temptation. And he pulled back about a stone's throw from them, got on his knees, and began to pray. Just like Daniel, he knew he went into prayer regularly. But he also knew, just like Daniel, that he would be trapped if he went to the same place. But he went anyway. Now, he brought disciples with him. Corporate prayer, very good. If it wasn't, we wouldn't do encounter prayers, right? But there's also a time for private prayer. One-on-one prayer with Adonai. So that he, not just so that he can hear you, because he can hear you any place, but so that you can hear him. So that the distractions are further away, so that you'll hear him. Sometimes that sounds like an inner voice. For some people, it's almost an external voice sound to them. For many, it's just a prompting of the Ruach, a feeling that Adonai is trying to say something to you that you still need to do, say. Now, this leads me to the final point today. It's just a quick word, but I think it's going to lead me into next week's message. The form that a prayer should take. And I believe there are five steps to a good prayer. Five steps. Five steps to take when you're praying alone, when you're praying. Other times you may cut out a step or two. It may come down to just one step. God help me. Five steps, though. Praise, confession, repentance, petition, request, worship, thanks, and then listen. They may not sound powerful on their own, but placed together, they have the ability to engage the God of the universe and the power of the Ruach HaKodesh. The opening of our mouths to follow these steps will open the ears and hearts of Adonai, especially when we're praying, when we're aligned with Him. And here's a piece of good news that I learned fairly early on. We were in a meeting, a prayer meeting, up in New York when I was pretty early on after salvation for me. And there was a visiting minister there who had spoken, and then we went into prayer. Now, I was fairly new, so I got a little tired. It was an evening prayer, and I got a little distracted, so I stepped out. And right after I stepped out, the minister stepped out, the pastor stepped out. So we had this little quiet, whispered conversation. And then I said to him, "Are you going to go back in?" You know what he said to me? He said to me, "God doesn't count your words." He said to me, "I think I said all that I had to say to Adonai. I'm done." There's no need for empty words when praying to Him. Wow, what a great gift He gave me. I did not have to keep babbling. I don't have to fill the time that others felt to pray. There's right for them to keep going on an open time of prayer like that. Pray until you're done. But pray until you're done. You don't have to keep babbling. If you're finished, you're finished. I don't have to repeat myself until everyone else is finished too. He wants your whole heart, not your whole mouth. If you want to engage the power of prayer of Adonai, we need to engage the power of prayer in our lives. In order to fully engage the power of prayer in our lives, we need to live the life Adonai calls us to live. Removing sin, praising Him, helping others, living the life of a believer. If you want your prayers to have power, we need to live the life of a believer. Now, yes, I'm going to go in next week into the parts of prayer. But the biggest part of prayer is going to be your heart. Not your words. Your heart. Your actions towards others, towards Him. Amen. Father, we thank You that we can trust in You when we pray, that when we pray for what we need, You have the ability to meet that need. And when it's right for us, You know when it's right for us, and You will meet that need. Sometimes the answer to our prayer is yes. Here's how, here's when, and here's with who. Sometimes the answer is, here's a piece of it, but wait for the rest of it. Sometimes the answer is no. Adonai, give us all the wisdom and discernment to hear the yes or the no, and to accept. But the wisdom and discernment to hear the not yet, to hear the keep praying through it. The wisdom and discernment to know that we just need to keep praying because we are aligned. We are asking rightfully. We need that discernment to know that when we pray rightfully, You will answer. The discernment to have our prayers align with You. We just thank you and praise you for that comfort that you bring us, that you will, that you said you will answer our prayers when they're right. We praise you and thank you in Yeshua's name. And everyone said, amen and amen.